Welcome to the Earth Observatory of Singapore's podcast series, Pandemics and Natural Hazards. Today we're talking with the director of Center for Geohazard Observations, Long Chung Yu, and research associate Nurdin Dahlan at the Earth Observatory of Singapore about the way forward for Earth scientists in a global lockdown. Both Chung Yu and Nurdin are involved in the technical support services that scientists require for the instruments installed in the region. Many of these require regular maintenance in remote locations, all connecting back to a major hub in Singapore. This is episode 3 of a 3-part series by the Earth Observatory of Singapore, which looks at the compounding impacts of coinciding disasters and asks fundamental questions around the sustainable mobility for our changing world in Southeast Asia. Let me start by introducing Chung Yu and Nurdin, who we will be talking with today on this podcast series from the Earth Observatory of Singapore. About Chung Yu, I understand you like to be called CY. CY is the director for the Center for Geohazard Observations in EOS. The mission of the center is to install, maintain, and manage the Earth Observatory of Singapore's geohazard observation stations in remote areas across Southeast Asia. The geohazard ops team works closely with the researchers to meet the scientific requirements while accommodating operational and technical constraints in remote locations. CY runs a very critical and important data hub that closely tracks a range of geohazards from earthquakes to volcanic eruptions, tsunamis to typhoons, and sea level rise. Working in his team is Nurdin Dahlan, a research associate who manages the ground site maintenance across the region. This includes a vast amount of travel to remote and difficult locations where installation of equipment is necessary to ensure active volcanoes, seismic fault lines, earth monitoring devices, and sea level rise equipment can connect researchers to the front line of their projects. Welcome, both of you. Now, you're both involved in the technical side of research analysis and data collection around geohazards in the region. Is the pandemic affecting your work and researchers who rely on this data for their projects?
Thank you for having us. Yes, my team, both in the data hub and out in the field, installing and maintaining the field instruments, have been impacted by the pandemic in a variety of different ways. In many areas of geohazard research, scientists usually require quality geophysical data recorded from the areas of interest over long periods of time. While it is not necessary for scientists to have frequent field presence, my team is responsible for maintaining the instruments and ensuring the flow of data is transmitted back to our servers here in Singapore. The analysis of the data and the uncovering of knowledge take place after that. During this pandemic, my team is unfortunately not able to travel overseas to conduct field work to service the stations. Just like a car that misses its periodic servicings, our field instruments will become more prone to breakdown.
Question: how many instruments have you installed over the past few years, and where in the region are they situated?
Over the past 10 years, we have installed around 180 geophysical instruments on a permanent basis in and around Southeast Asia. Equipment that measures tectonic deformation, seismicity of earthquakes, sea level changes, and sensors that monitor volcanic activities. We have installed instruments in remote areas in Indonesia, Myanmar, the Philippines, and Bangladesh, to name a few. One of the oldest networks we have is a SUGAR in Indonesia. SUGAR stands for Sumatran GPS Array. It is a network of 49 GPS continuous stations that span almost 2,000 kilometers of the convergent plate boundary between the Indo-Australian plate and Sunda plate. It measures tectonic deformations that will provide a wealth of information on the Sunda megatrust and Sumatra fault. areas that are very active have produced several big earthquakes in the last decade. This is where more data and research will benefit communities in the development of mitigation strategy. One of the newest installations we recently embarked on is a coastal GNSS network for sea level rise research. Nurdin is the technical lead of this project.
Nurdin, what is the main task of the new GNSS network in Taiwan? And has the pandemic caused any challenges around the setup of this project?
Thank you, Joy, for your question. Yes, the new GNSS or Global Navigation Satellite System project in Taiwan is being installed to monitor the sea level rise in the region. This is something we're really putting a major focus on. As the Arctic starts to melt and the sea level is predicted to rise up to 1.3 meters by the end of this century. There are many low-lying regions across Southeast Asia, and we need to understand the speed, the rate of rise, and providing knowledge to help community plan for and mitigate these scenarios. We recently installed the first station for sea level research in Taiwan in November 2019. Each station has the standard setup of a GNSS receiver, a communication device to transfer the data to the local and main server in Singapore. Each station also has the capability of remote setup and some level of maintenance. They have independent power supply to ensure that all equipment is getting electric power at all times, as well as continuous data recording and transferring. The processing technique of GNSS signal has been able to detect storm surge, including Typhoon Hatoi in 2017 and Typhoon Mangkhut in 2018. However, these stations are not easy to get to. And during the COVID-19 pandemic, we have been heavily restricted to maintain all of our equipment and keep the data channels active due to the travel and border closures.
What does the hub normally monitor and track across the region? I imagine many of these locations have been inaccessible during this period.
Well, in addition to Sugar in Indonesia, there are many other remote observation systems capturing and transmitting geophysical data back to Singapore to enable fundamental research on earthquake, volcanic eruptions, tsunami, and climate change around our region. For instance, in Myanmar, we have collaborated with agencies there to set up a network of broadband seismometers and strong motion accelerometers to record seismic data that will enable a better understanding of the seismicity, earthquake mechanism, and velocity structure in Myanmar. Complementing this is a network of GPS receiver stations across Myanmar in an east-west disposition that monitors tectonic movements in the crust, in particular around the Sagaing Fault. Working with our overseas partners, EOS has also set up 3 volcanic labs. They are located in Mount Gede and Salat in Java, Mount Merapi in Sumatra, and Mount Mayon in the Philippines. To facilitate and improve the forecast of future eruptions in the region, we have few labs fitted with seismometers, tilt meters, gas sensors, and underground water level sensors that keep tab on the volcano activities.
Is the current pandemic situation affecting your data collection work, like Sugar, Myanmar, or the volcanic labs?
It's a really interesting question. The answer is both yes and no. Yes, if a few instruments require a physical replacement or repair, then of course we wouldn't be able to fix it during the pandemic when travels are curtailed. No, because field data can still be transmitted via cellular and satellite communication. There's no need for us to send anyone out into the field to manually download it if the equipment is working well. Here in EOS, we have the capability to remotely monitor the health of the networks and investigate should something fail. If the problem can be dealt with remotely, we can quite easily fix it, such as by reconfiguring or resetting the equipment. Hence, our scientists can still continue their research in Singapore during lockdown situations. Interestingly, when a natural disaster rolls into a pandemic situation, things can get exciting fairly quickly. Nurdin was involved in one such situation just recently.
Nurdin, where were you in the field when such a convergence occurred, and how did you deal with it? Nurdin, where were you in the field when such a convergence occurred, and how did you deal with it? And how did you deal with it?
I was actually in the Philippines in the field, and our crew just started to do repair and maintenance work for several stations where some of the equipment was previously destroyed by the typhoon back in 2019. Well, while we were in the field, we heard about the deteriorating conditions around the pandemic as the president started to implement total lockdown in Metro Manila area. The crew checks the news regularly to find out the update on the COVID-19 situation, especially in the Philippines, as the process to do the test within the country just rolled out. While we were having maintenance planning, I actually anxiously monitored the situation from the local news, television, my family also in Singapore giving me some updates, and also emails and several updates from NTU and EOS. It's a bit like a race for me, actually, as if I was trying to run as fast as I can, but keep looking at my back to check how far is the enemy for me. It was quite intense, actually, at that time. But at the same time, the EOS management in Singapore were also following the case in the Philippines and immediately swung into action to bring us back home. This situation show us that pandemic can really affect our normal operation and some of the tasks we need to handle. Some of the research needs to be postponed while we need to resume the fieldwork where possible. We also need to set up more monitoring stations to support new sea level rise program in the region, but currently we are grounded here in Singapore. Ideally, one country is represented at least by one station to cover coastlines around the South China Sea. Once the stations are evenly spread out, the data that is collected to study the sea level rise will represent the South China Sea region. We also need to set up more monitoring stations to support the new sea level rise program in the region. But currently we are grounded here in Singapore. Ideally, one country is represented at least by one station to cover coastlines around the South China Sea. Once the stations are evenly spread out, the data that is collected to study the sea level rise will represent the South China Sea region.
What remote data can you collect in the office? And what physical functionality can you maintain in the field during this period?
Actually, remote checking and maintenance can be done from the office if the physical functionality, including the supply of the electric power to the instrument, are running. However, some physical maintenance and repair is unavoidable if the equipment, cable, or connection are damaged, flat battery, or dirty solar panel. So they need to be cleaned, repaired, or even replaced. Ideally, the field work needs to be reviewed and maintained every 6 months to 1 year if nothing major happened to the equipment. Sometimes we have to deploy the crew in emergency situation where the equipment is damaged and needs to be urgently fixed, as the data is very important.
How are your scientific groups dealing with not having direct access to their monitoring systems in the region? Obviously, flights have been suspended and borders have been closed.
In the short term, I don't expect a major problem for researchers who are not needed physically in the field to collect samples or data. That's because the monitoring system are largely able to transmit recorded data remotely to our servers, and the scientists will still be able to work with the data set. However, it will become problematic as the travel restriction prolongs. We are not able to conduct maintenance fieldwork to service the stations. The equipment may break down and physical repair or parts replacement cannot be done. In addition, we are not able to do site surveys, topographic mapping, and continue installations for new projects.
What does your Center for Geohazard Observation look like internally? Is it wall-to-wall monitoring screens? Do you monitor 24/7? And what are you watching for? Major earth episodes, like earthquakes, volcanic activity, a precursor to a major event?
Let me give you a picture. We are the central hub where all the data is being received from all the remote locations around the region. We have huge screens on the wall that display live feeds. Here, we are able to configure what we need to observe. It is a bit like an airport control center with screens of visualizations and information. We use them to monitor the status of the data coming in and whether it is all sufficient quantity expected. There is near real-time streaming of seismic data to provide indications of earthquakes detected by our seismic networks with playback functions. We also have displays that monitor the health status of our field instruments, for example, the power system. When some anomaly is detected, we can then log into the system to do further investigation. The wall is literally telling us a real-time story of the Earth science of the region. This is really quite amazing.
Does this mean that in spite of the lockdowns or any future situations of similar restrictions, that the Earth Observatory of Singapore is well-placed to stay ahead of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic?
Yes, I think we are actually in a position of strength. Our remote monitoring and rectification capability allows us to continue to record and collect geophysical data for the scientists to do their work. To overcome the pandemic cross-border travel restriction, we employ local field technicians who have a skill set and experience to conduct field work for maintenance and repair. When the local travel restrictions are lifted, we should be able to deploy the local field technicians while our field engineers are still stuck in Singapore. At some sites, we also have the help of local villagers who are able to check on the stations and report to us what they see with photos and videos. It is really helpful for us to make sense of what's going on the ground without being there physically.
Nordin, has the pandemic provided you with an opportunity to rethink your technology and how to build further capacity in the region in the future? In the event that another pandemic hits the region in the next decade,
The collaboration with local youth or students organization is something I think we need to initiate. The idea is to bridge the gap between the policymakers and the field personnel who sometimes abstain in the field due to the travel restrictions. These university students, with the spirit adventure, happy to visit remote places, hiking the mountain and stroll into the jungle to gain the experience working in the field. From my experience interacting with these students, especially among the earth science students, they are really keen to be part of the team, as they also gain some knowledge and experience in setting up the instrument correctly to collect error-free data. Working with individual, having conversation and discussion help builds connection with them. Actually, informally, I have built connection with a regional level research organization to communicate our research project, and hopefully the result will benefit both parties.
I imagine there are some limitations to data retrieval in the field during this COVID-19 period, but what have you learned, and will you be proposing any technology upgrades in the future?
The lockdown has given us the opportunity to examine what we can improve upon. I wish the equipment and sensor manufacturers can improve their remote diagnostics capability so that end users like us can have a more comprehensive range of remote verification. At our level, I have encouraged my team to stay innovative, conduct experimentation, and assemble systems that could improve the robustness and efficiencies of data transmission, so as to reduce the need for physical rectification. I would have to think about how to implement a more robust outsourced model of local technicians and field engineers. Logistically, I have to consider the ability to stock up adequate spares and equipment locally, so the local team has the resources to do their job. This will certainly help us future-proof critical research and monitoring in the future.
Moving forward, how can the Earth Observatory of Singapore better prepare itself for the management of regional research projects under such extraordinary restrictive conditions?
The key to the international scientific research is the collaboration. I see that EOS has very good collaboration with the high-level institution around the region. In addition to that, I think it is also important to build collaboration with organizations such as NGOs, youth or students club, and regional or district level of government agencies.
What do you think about collaboration in the future? Will this be critical for the modeling of compounding events in the Southeast Asia region?
Yes, indeed, collaboration is key, and I fully agree with Nordin. While I have my wish list stated previously, I'm mindful that there are resource, financial, and national policy considerations. There will be prioritization, and there will be trade-offs. This is where my role as a director will require me to work out a balanced and cost-effective plan. Devising a more robust outsourcing model so that our observation network stays in tip-top condition despite under such restrictive situation is certainly very attractive. I will also be very careful not to outsource our responsibility in supporting our scientists in their research. It is therefore important that my team maintain our core technical competency.
Many thanks for Chung Long, Director for Geohazard Observations, and Research Associate Nerdin Dalan, for sharing their insights into this new podcast series, Pandemics and Natural Hazards, looking at the way forward for Earth scientists in a global lockdown.
Thank you, Joy, for having us.
You can also catch Climate Impact Asia and the documentary series coming soon on Curiosity Stream with the Earth Observatory of Singapore.